Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to New Life Podcast. Get ready for Pastor Dave Dolan to deliver a spirit-filled message centered in God's Word.
Great to be with you, to all of our guests. We love you. We thank God for you. Look around, empty seats. It's still summer. Hallelujah. But if something cataclysmic will happen in this nation, they'll be filled. Holy Spirit's working on people, striving with them, dealing with them. They know they should be here today, but it'll be okay because it's not our job to make it happen. It's our responsibility to sow the seed. And once we do, we loose the power of the Holy Spirit to deal and convict and convince men and women and young people to do what they know they should do. But I'm glad that you're here. I'm thrilled that you're here. I am so elated that you would come and listen to a 64-year-old bald-headed man. I'm just grateful today. Yeah. Praise God. It's a good day. God is so incredible. Would you stand with me this morning? I am in the 16th chapter of John. I'm beginning in verse 7. We are in our series entitled The Promise. This is the third message in this series. We hope that you will be blessed today. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It's important. It's critical for you that I go away. He didn't say it was critical for him. It was expedient for you that I go away. Jesus is talking to those that have gathered. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Stop right there, because I'm about to run right down where there used to be an aisle. If you really grasp a hold of that, who is the prince of the world? Satan. The prince of the world has been judged. If the verdict has already been released against the prince of this world, then there is a pathway for you and I to walk in absolute total victory, in overcoming power, in strength, in peace. Hallelujah. High five somebody and tell them I'm happy already. We have examined the reality of the promise that Jesus said would come. He instructed his disciples, actually 500, that viewed him on the Mount of Olives in his resurrected state. He had already been crucified, already been buried, already exploded out of the tomb with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. 500 had gathered and heard him say, "Go tarry in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, and stay there till you be endued with power from on high." Only 120 went. I'm talking about the Savior of the world, the God-man, the Christ, the Anointed One, the miracle worker, the life transformer, he who could raise the dead and calm the storm, could reach into a man's life by the name of Simon Peter. This Christ follower, cusser, changed by the Spirit of God into the spokesman on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has an enormous ability when given the opportunity to radically alter and change your life. And we discovered the first week that the Holy Spirit has the ability to influence, in other words, to change us, to alter us. Last week, we discovered that the Holy Spirit is like fire, and fire has the innate ability to transform and change an object into a different form. Trance, change into a different form. I don't know about you, but I've been transformed. I'm not going to lose my zeal. I'm not going to lose my excitement. Because once you are born again, how can you possibly lose the capacity for joy and peace and the ability to love God at all times when you understand the reality that he saved you and redeemed you, not because you were worthy, but because he loved you so much that he did not want to see you endure an eternal torment in the corridors of hell. When you begin to embrace that and understand that and know that he's created you to be a new creation, there is no trial, there is no devil, there is no opposition, there is no temptation that compares with the glory and the power of our ability to rejoice because of what Jesus has done for us. Well, my goal before this message is over is to reach all of you. So we want to examine how the Holy Spirit interacts with humanity. How does he interact with you and I? What is his assignment from God, and what does that look like in our life in practical, applicable ways? And so number one, we read in John chapter 16 and in verse 8 that he comes to reprove the world of sin. Say, Pastor, what in the world does that mean? The word reprove means to convict, expose, or convince. When you declare the word of God, you cannot separate the word from the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus' cousin John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, the Bible said the heavens opened. Wherever the word is, there is access to the Father. Wherever the word is, the Holy Spirit moves. Because we read in Matthew chapter 3 that when Jesus came up out of the water, two critical things happened. The Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. It did not say it was a dove. Like a dove. And not everybody saw that. And then there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." One translation says this, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well seen." So how can we allow God to be seen through us if it's not for the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit? That will not happen. Therein lies the dilemma and the challenge in our culture, because religion is void of the power of the word that they have substituted with tradition. And they don't want to deal with the power of the Holy Spirit because it's going to change a life. But preachers can't preach about the power of the Holy Spirit if they themselves have not been radically changed. So it behooves us this morning to understand how this operates and how it works. Mr. Sawyer, come and help me quickly, all right? And I'm looking for somebody else that's small. All right, come and help me. So here's what I want you to do. The Holy Spirit has come to reprove the world of sin, or convince, expose. So I want you, Pokemon, to be the Holy Spirit. Where'd you get that shirt? At Walmart. And you just walk in and take it?
No.
Oh, somebody bought it. All right. I didn't want the Holy Spirit to be a thief. So I'm going to declare the word of God, and let's just for a moment say that Mr. Sawyer is lost. He doesn't know Jesus. Be downcast. Be forlorn. And so I want to do my best to make a transition in his life. What I am not going to do is invite him just to come to church. When I just invite him to come to church, the Holy Spirit does not respond. Hello? When I invite Mr. Sawyer to think about the rest of his life, Holy Spirit still doesn't respond. But when I tell him who is lost, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life," because he didn't come to condemn you. Now there's a little bit of joy and serenity coming. Do you know why? Because when I speak the word, the Holy Spirit cannot be separated from the word. And wherever the word is, the Holy Spirit shows up. And the Holy Spirit will stay with the Word of God even if I walk away. So Mr. Sawyer has not made a decision yet, but he's decided to go sit with his mother in church. He was drugged. He needs deliverance from drugs. His mama drug him to church. No, he came willingly. So he's going to go back and sit down. He's going to go back home. But the Holy Spirit does not leave, my friend. No. The Holy Spirit doesn't go back to heaven because the Word has been spoken. And wherever the Word is, the Holy Spirit is going to go with him to convict him. That's why he can't sleep well at night. That's why he tosses and turns. That's why when he goes to school, he's trying to do his math problems, trying to remember his spelling problem, but he can't get rid of this feeling that there is something different about what that individual spoke to them, that there is a love beyond what he has experienced, that there is a power beyond what he has known, and the Holy Spirit is there to help convict him and convince him. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave him alone. We've sown the seed into people's lives, and they have rejected it. Maybe they have said harsh things, but that doesn't tamper the Holy Spirit's ability to deal with them, because the Holy Spirit moves right through their emotions, right past their intellect. He's into dealing with their spirit, that void in their heart and in their life that Jesus created, and it is a place for him to abide. And so it behooves us not to quit, not to give up. And when I see Mr. Sawyer again in a week, I ask him, so what do you think about Jesus? He says, well, I don't know. I said, I'm telling you, whatever battle you're facing, the Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. So Mr. Sawyer looks at me and goes, okay, but the Holy Spirit hasn't left yet. Because his job assignment has not been completed. If it's 6 months, if it's 9 months, if it's a year, if it's 2 years, that individual will continue to be convicted as long as we do not lose heart and become frustrated and continue to declare the power of the Word of God every time we cross paths with somebody. How you doing? Are you doing okay? Well, I'm having trouble at home. Josie's been beating up on me in the middle of the night. She comes in, steals my toys, steals my stuff, takes my phone, takes my iPad, takes my computer, takes all of my information. Well, we just need to pray with you, because we're going to believe God that whatever the thief takes, he has to put back. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 31. And as long as you continue to declare the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is there to convince, convict, and expose. Don't quit. Tell somebody, don't quit, don't give up, don't be weak, don't retreat. Continue to declare the Word of God. Say, well, what do I do if I'm a believer today and I'm facing an enormous challenge? We all face temptations, do we not? Do we not all face challenges and struggles and elements in life that we did not anticipate that would come our way? Well, the Holy Spirit is there to help convince you that you have the victory. Reproof is not rebuke. Rebuke is to be slightly more harsh because you're absolutely going the wrong direction, but reproof is gentle. And so when you're going through a difficult time, whatever you're facing today, if you will take the power of the Word and say, all things are possible to him that believes. Nothing is too difficult for God. He is for me, not against me. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you know what begins to happen? The Holy Spirit will wrap itself around you and try to convince you and convict you that you are not a loser, that you're not under the curse, that you're not getting what you deserve, because Jesus already paid for what you deserved. You're getting what he paid for, and that's blessing. And so Jesus, when you declare the word over your life, he is making intercession for you. The Bible says he's at the right hand of the Father. He's blessing you. He's speaking well of you, even though you don't deserve it. And so the Holy Spirit begins to help you and convince you that you're the victor, you're walking in the power, so that the word you're speaking against your adversity is not just void words that are religious, but now they have an element of power and authority, and you are the one that walks in victory, and you're submitting to God, and the devil has to flee. Come on, my students of the book of James. Submit yourself to God, therefore. Resist the devil, and he will flee. How do I resist? By declaring the power of the word of God. Because when you declare the power of the word, the Holy Spirit is activated. Some of you have not declared the word, and you have not activated the source, the power, the tool that God has given to you to be joyful, to be peaceful, to make your way through the difficulty and the challenge. Why is it that believers decline? Why is it that they seem to misplace their joy, their peace? Why is it that they have a sense of moving backwards at times instead of having forward motion or standing? Why is it that believers at times become stagnant? Can I help you today? Have you ever felt like you were just stagnant? You weren't retreating, but you weren't making forward motion. Just things were not moving. Things just seemed to have an air of sterility. There was no power. There was no strength there. Why is it that I am moving into this position where I don't feel as though God is for me, with me, or fighting my battle? I will give you the solution. Because every decline is God wrongly defined. You have defined God incorrectly. You have said, I don't know if God's for me. If it is based upon what I'm seeing, then God must not be for me. Nothing is ever based on what you see. Your decline is God wrongly defined, because everything you walk through has to do with the character of God. Whatever you're facing today, whatever you're believing God for, does it not embrace, is he still holy? Is he still all-powerful? Is he still all-knowing? Is he still benevolent? Is he still able? Is he still merciful? The characteristics and the nature of God become the elements that are challenged. And when you begin to decline and you begin to retreat, or you feel stagnant and you don't feel like you can worship and open your mouth because of what you're going through, you have wrongly defined the character of God. Why is that? For those of you that are avid students of the Bible, then let me give you scriptural application. You can look at these things later. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, there was a man that distributed talents to three individuals. The one man got one talent. He wrongly defined the man that gave him the talent and said, "You are a harsh man. I knew you were harsh. That reaped where you did not sow." That is not God. God does not reap where he does not sow. And then in the book of James, or book of Jude, verse 15, I think we have the scripture, and it's in the English Standard Version, if we can find it quickly. But it talks about those that walk in their ungodly deeds, that speak ungodly things against the Lord. And the term ungodly is translated harsh. Have you ever spoken harsh things against God? Can we just be honest for a moment? I'm trying to help you today. I could tell you stories of moments in my life where I have said, "God, if I can measure your concern on the basis of my circumstances, I would have to say that it does not look like you are concerned." But that is totally against what the Word says. And the Holy Spirit only moves. You see, God will not be manipulated by your... trauma. Can I say what I feel? God will not be manipulated by your pathetic attitude. God will not be manipulated by you crawling up in a corner and crying, trying to get God to be moved by your emotional control. It may work with your husband, and it may work with your wife, and it may work on the job, but it doesn't work for God. Because God just waits until he hears the word. When he hears the word, he responds. How does he respond? The Holy Spirit moves in your behalf. But what I want you to understand is that that word that is used in Matthew 25 and in Jude 1 is a Greek word, skleros, whereby we get our English word sclerosis, hardening of the arteries. When you begin to speak harshly against God, your heart starts to become hard. Then it takes more of the word and a greater atmosphere that is incubated with worship to get a transition and a change in your mind. And some people decline because they wrongly define God. We declare the word. Sometimes they get nervous. Sometimes they're not sure. But I promise you, when we declare the word of God to you, the Holy Spirit is attached to the word. You cannot separate God from his word, because John 4:24 says God is a spirit. I don't want my arteries to get hard. I don't want my heart to get hard. I have too many things to do, too many people to reach. We corporately have a great assignment before us, and people's lives are being touched. One of the people that were healed last Sunday morning is in Tennessee. And I saw the response that they sent while we were praying. This is not about me. It's about the atmosphere that you and I create. They were totally healed. Don't applaud because I look at you. Do it because you want to. And for those that didn't, I know where you're at, so we're good. He's come to reprove the world of sin. When we allow ourselves to speak harshly about God, knowing that his character is not what we are expressing. Have you ever asked Jesus, "Don't you care? Am I by myself?" There's two of us, three of us, four of us. People are getting honest. God is moving. Have you ever asked God in any situation, "God, why does it look like you don't care?" And we understand in our heart that he does, but it's difficult for us to put together who he is and what we see happening. But the bridge that gaps that is called faith. And when we begin to speak harshly of God, listen to me carefully, it can be counted as sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. What does Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, the second part, say? That which is not of faith is sin. Because the state, the atmosphere of sin is unbelief. So now we understand we're born again. God's done something phenomenal. The most supernatural event that could ever take place in our life is that we have been transformed, altered drastically by the power of the Holy Spirit, which comes into our life, changes us, because we asked him to and we were tired of how we were living. This is not the time. This is what I told pastors a week ago. This is not a moment to be frustrated. This is a moment to shake yourself. Get in your prayer closet. Remind yourself of the goodness of God. Remind yourself of what God has done in your life and begin to declare the power of the word over your mind and over your thinking to build your expectations and not feed your doubt. And the Holy Spirit is there to help you. We say, I just feel like I'm quoting scripture. Just keep declaring it. Just keep speaking it. I keep declaring the word over Faith's life. Deb told me the other night that she was feeding Faith and Faith had some kind of a strange seizure. Deb said, I almost freaked out. I said, no, don't be freaking out in my house. No, I've been married to her long enough. You don't freak out in my house. We must have a lot of houses that are freaking out. I said, no, that's not what we're going to do. What we are going to do is declare what Isaiah said. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. That is the antidote to any assignment, any trial, any adversity that comes against you. Because when we speak that, what do we loose? We loose the power of the Holy Spirit to go and to perform what we've declared. Sheldon Hawkins, I just remembered it. I know what God spoke to me last Sunday. The mouths of the liars shall be closed. And if it hasn't happened yet, I'm telling you, the Lord dropped that in my heart in altar call last week. The mouths of the liars shall be stopped. They shall be closed. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit has come to reprove the world of sin. And reprove is a legal term. It's like a judge that after summing up all of the evidence and considering all of the facts that he's received, he's convicting the individual as being guilty. And in so doing, he brings any and removes any justification for the guilty party so that that person stands exposed clearly by the Spirit of God. I just feel like I need to tell you this story. And some of you have heard it, but I'm almost 65. Humor me. We were in Branson, Missouri. We were in our condo. Faith was very young. She was having, she'd wake up in the middle of the night crying, and we did not know why. At 4 a.m., Deb was trying to feed her something. We weren't sure. I went out onto the balcony, and I made some declarative statements about God, which I shall not repeat because it's none of your business and I've already repented and been forgiven. I'm just using it as a historical reference point for anybody that's ever said something to God and waited for lightning to strike and hell to open up. And for all of you holy people who have never done that, your day's coming. And I remember the Lord speaking to me because the moon was shining on the water and the ducks were floating along and you could hear the breeze through the trees. And the Lord spoke to me this very clearly. I've never forgotten it. He said, isn't it amazing that everything that I've created is in perfect harmony with me except you? Because of your harsh words. And when you speak harsh words to God, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is loosed because you know what the truth is. The next day we took our family to Silver Dollar City. I'm pushing Faith in the stroller. I'm very protective of her. It began to rain. The kids were going to get on the roller coaster. As it started to rain, I ran for the closest tree, not observing what was next to the closest tree. Next to the closest tree was a particular building that I didn't need to be close to. And so my wife came up and said, can I ask you something? I said, sure. Why are you standing in line, she said, to the ladies' bathroom? And in under my breath, I went, God, this is not funny at all. How many of you know that we can have a lingering attitude periodically just because we're human? Listen to me, because to be honest with God means to be vulnerable, and we're not sure that our vulnerability can handle the degree of faith and the longevity of time that it will take for God to move in what we've asked him to do. Does that make any sense? So we got ready to leave Silver Dollar City, and on the way out they had constructed a little chapel and it started to rain again. So we went into the chapel. How many of you know that when you are speaking harsh words to God, the front row is not where you're going to sit? Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody that's sitting in the back, but that was where I decided to sit. in the back. It was slightly dark. I did not want anyone to see me. I was not happy with God. I was aggravated, and I began to feed and nurture my harshness towards God. I didn't want freed from that. Y'all not hearing me. I didn't want liberated from that because there was a certain comfort that I felt being mad at God, hoping that my pouting would bring his spouting. It's worked other times in my life. You throw a fit, you get what you want. And so I'm sitting in the back, and the lady is playing the piano in the front. And she said, I would like to sing this song, Amazing Grace, but I need somebody to sing the lead. And I thought, I'm not moving. I want out of here, and I want out of here now. But guess what? When I got married, the Bible says these two shall become one. And so my other self lifted her hand and said, my husband can sing lead. I was not happy, but the spotlight was already on me. What do you do? So I walked to the front every step of the way. I don't want to do this. I do not want to be here. God, right now would be a good time for you to come unless I'm not going to make it. And I really don't want to sing. And all these people are waiting to see if I can sing at all. They only have the word of my wife. They don't know her, other than she has seven kids. So through their mind, they're trying to figure out, why does she have seven children? Because I love her. Stop it. So I got to the front and they started to play. Listen to me. And I began to sing. And my voice began to shiver. Because you cannot sing about the goodness of God and the hardness of your heart not be mellowed and not be tenderized and not be touched. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. How can you sing about the greatness and the goodness of God and look at where he's brought you from and not believe that he will take you from where you are to where you need to be? And in declaring those things and the power of the grace of God, I had to repent and say, Lord, forgive me for my anxiety. Forgive me for my fear, because all anger is rooted in fear. Because we're afraid God's really not going to do it, so it's just easier to get mad. Because we've been hurt before by people. But God is not a man that he can lie. And so he tries to transition us and help us. Number two, John chapter 16, verse 8. And he judges the world of righteousness. How does he judge the world of righteousness? Watch this in verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. There is a righteousness, a position available for us, whatever we're walking through, because Jesus is alive and he is risen. And if you are contemplating and debating within yourself whether or not the reality of Jesus' existence is true, let me share with you that my conscience and your conscience is validity and proof that there has been forgiveness of sins, because we no longer are sitting around troubled by our past sin, being condemned by what we did yesterday or 10 years ago, because his forgiveness and his righteousness and his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And now we know that we walk in relationship with him, and the Holy Spirit has come to convince us, to help us understand that even if you said something yesterday, can I tell this story? One person, that's not quite enough. We've all said things that we regretted. Have you ever said anything in the moment of fear or anger that you wished you had not said? Come on, there's some Peters in here who was a swarthy, swearing fisherman. And then when he denied the Christ, he spoke words he hadn't spoken in 3.5 years. I got a phone call to come to the Life Center. We had a counselor down there at the time, and they needed somebody to pray with them. So I got in my car. I was driving a Cadillac at the time, and I had a bed frame leaned up against the freezer there. So in my haste, when I pulled out, I did not know that the bed frame was propped up there by something that was leaning against the car. It doesn't cost to pay attention. So when I backed out, the bed frame came down on the hood of my car, and I said, a concrete wall that holds back water. So all of you that are so holy, you've never said anything. Immediately, conviction came upon me, and in the quarter of a mile drive from here to there, I repented, got it right. You say, well, that's no big deal. I say that all the time. Well, if you've opened the door to that, you're probably saying a lot of other stuff that you don't need to say that makes the Holy Spirit shun when you say it. What you don't understand is when you are disobedient in your speech or conduct, you are quenching or grieving the Spirit of God that is there to help you. And he won't leave you because you said a bad word. Can I go a little deeper? He's not going to leave you because you looked at a naked woman. Oh my God, I lost my salvation. I'm going to go blind. No, you just need to repent and cover your mind with the Word of God. I've got to hurry. Jesus' righteousness made available to you a position before him that declares that you are a son of God. Number three, then we'll close. It's in verse 11, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what the enemy is trying to bring against you, but he's already been judged. You see, he's already been judged. So if you will take the word will release the Holy Spirit in your life to interact with you, to help you be convinced. It's going to be okay. You will get through this because God's already made a way and the prince of this world's already been judged. Satan's fate has already been sealed. Now, he's not the smartest angel in the whole conglomeration of millions of angels that God had. He decided he would rebel against God. Therein lies number one, revelation of his lack of great intelligence. Why would you rebel against God? Why would you tell God, I'm going to build my throne in the sides of the north? I'm going to be just like you when you were a created being. Listen to me, the devil is not omnipresent. He sits in hell calculating by the words that you speak and sends the appropriate demon oppression against you. Well, I just don't feel like I can make it through this. Hey, Arthur, Illinois, depression. Go embrace yourself around that. But what they don't know, in Arthur, Illinois, that person may just have been hit with a circumstance and they may have spoken that, but you haven't heard the end of the story because they said, if I can just find that scripture, there it is in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. I forgot the joy of the Lord is my strength and enables me to conquer and fight any battle. And the demonic assignment of depression has to be cut off because you've now loosed the power of the Holy Spirit because you can't separate the Word and the Spirit. Because 1 John says there are three that bear record in heaven, and they are one. One in operation, one in function. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand that Satan's power has been broken at Calvary. But listen to me carefully. Why does the devil fight Pentecost so intensely and want to label us as a group of fanatics? That in part is true of some of us. You can be a fanatic even if you're more reserved, okay? I love these young ladies worshiping today, so I just kind of vicariously worship through them because I can't jump. I'm not supposed to jump, so please keep jumping because it just causes, and I go, I used to be able to do that. Well, I'll just, by the Holy Ghost, I'll just, inside I'm jumping. Some of you get that way when you go to the honky-tonk, but I'm talking about a holy place called church where Jesus is exalted. I'm sorry, you ain't woman enough to take my man. That's not my song. Satan hates Pentecost. Do you know why? Because the power of the resurrection is now unlimited. It was limited and confined to one, Jesus the Christ. But now, to those that have experienced the power of Pentecost, now Satan has multiple dilemmas, multiple challenges, because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that caused him to do miracles, the same power that caused him to raise the dead, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, now is being dispersed in multitudes, and now his challenge is overwhelming. I'm telling you, he's ordering more Tylenol, more Percocet, more Advil, because when you walk in the power of the Spirit, it frustrates hell's plan and hell's design. And I've come to tell you today, we win. You got to hear it. You are a winner. You are not a loser. God is for you, not against you. Would you stand with me today? They're playing I'm in the Red. Verse 33 of John 16. Hopefully we'll have it on the screen. There we go. These things I have spoken unto you that you might have shalom. Rest, tranquility, prosperity, peace. You can walk through anything if you have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. In the world, you're going to be faced with things. In the world, you're going to be confronted. In the world, you're going to have challenges. In the world, you'll have things rise up against you that look as though they have the ability to blow you away, but it's not over yet. Listen to what he says. But be of good cheer. Do you know what that means? That means to worship, to leap up and down, to shout, to lift your hands, to exalt the Lord, to be greatly positioned to bless him. For I have overcome the world. Listen to what one translation says. In the world you have trouble, but rejoice, because I've robbed the world of its power over you. I've robbed the world of its power. The death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection judicially overthrew Satan's dominion over your life, his ability to dominate your life through the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit. No longer will I be manipulated by the world. No longer will I be dominated by its culture. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. Tell somebody, you're not of this world, then stop acting like you're in it. We live every day. There are things we have to do. We eat, sleep, work, breathe. We go down big slides that we have no business going down. We engage in activities that we know at our age is not going to be helpful. But we're not of this world. And I'm thinking of that old hymn, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The challenge for some is not only declining and redefining God, but don't become too comfortable in this life. We are here as ambassadors. We are here as messengers of the kingdom. Whatever God blesses us with in this life, I am very thankful for. I am very thankful for relationships. I am very thankful for rallies. I'm very thankful for all of those who are monitoring my drive-up skills through McDonald's. God bless you. If you see me at 6 a.m., it's oatmeal and apples. No, I'm not getting a sausage and a biscuit. I love sausage until I think about where it came from and what the animal ate. I'm sorry, I'm not imposing that on you. I'm just making a statement. I love the blessings that God has placed in this life to sit on my deck and see the stars and hear everything. But this is not the reality of home, friends. Because eye hath not seen and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man those things that God has prepared for them that love him.
God bless you. So honored that you would connect with us in this program. We pray that this message from the Word of God has been a great blessing to you, has transformed you. Maybe it has released desire to be more than what you ever thought you could be. That's His plan for you. The Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you, says God. Thoughts of good and not of evil to bring you to a place of great hope. We'd love to hear from you. You can connect with us through Facebook or Instagram. We want you to know we're praying for you. We call you blessed. Looking forward to hearing from you today.